When they shoved, the troopers' battlesuits offered them no protection. The guards' boot soles left the ground, and they flew aside, crashing to earth with arms and legs spread wide. The troopers, who'd narrowly missed being bowled over, backed warily away. The newcomers paid no attention to them. They surrounded the body bag with the dead captain inside. Dropping to their knees in the dirt, they removed their gauntlets and helmets. From their speed and strength, Ryan already suspected who they were. Seeing their heads confirmed it. They had the same rugged bone structure, the same nearly shaved skulls as the corpse in the bag. The bag zipper was drawn down to reveal the devastated face. Tenderly, they slipped off the dead one's gauntlets. Then each put a cheek to the already cold fingers. After a few minutes of stooped mourning, the officers rose to their feet and turned to confront the captives. At a silent signal, the troopers seized Ryan by the arms and dragged him away from the others. He was thrown face down in the dirt before 10 pairs of gleaming boots.
I remember you, Ryan Cawder. Do you remember me, Dredda Otis Trask?
Ryan squinted up at a face he vaguely recalled.
Yeah, you were one of the CEOs, right? One of the five? I saw you on a vid screen. You and the others asked me questions about Deathlands.
Disaster seems to follow wherever you go, Shadow Man. The loss of our dear sister Kira is impossible to measure. She was a resource that can never be replaced. My other sisters want to beat you to death here and now. But I'm in charge here, and I have to look past the simple and pleasurable answers. My responsibility is to our future. Bring him inside. Manacle the others.
Ryan was jerked to his feet and hauled across the compound toward the big dome. He didn't struggle as the troopers pushed him through the bulkhead door, which opened onto an anteroom intersected by numerous tabular corridors. The light source was a strip of material that ran like a spinal cord along the top of the hallways. He was marched a short distance, then left alone in a room with the former CEO. The chamber was dark gray. The only decoration was the light strip across the ceiling. The Spartan furnishings consisted of a cot, a rack for a battle suit, a tier of electronic machinery, and a tall silver tank with a locking wheel on the lid. Dredda set her helmet and gauntlets on the cot. Seeing the former CEO up close from behind, Ryan was amazed at the breadth of the base of her neck. It formed a wide triangle of muscle that tapered only slightly as it climbed the back of her skull. Something about it was a little arousing.
You were never offered the opportunity to join us. I see now that that was a mistake. You could be a very valuable asset. You have abilities and experiences that our own males lack. You could teach us much about your world. And in return, we could make you one of its rulers. Doesn't that prospect interest you?
I never thought of myself as the ruler of anything but Ryan Cawder. Always seemed a big enough challenge for me.
Perhaps I should have explained the alternative first. If you don't cooperate, you and your companions will be marched to Slake City's Ground Zero and there perform hard labor until you die.
What do I have to do to avoid that?
Use your knowledge of the people and terrain to help us organize our attack plans. We would prefer to subdue the local populations and consolidate our gains as quickly as possible. Once that's done, we'll need to replace the existing barony system with something more efficient. When Deathlands is under our control, we'll move to the other continents of this world and conquer them in the same manner.
Seems like a mighty tall order for 100 or so troops.
You can help us there as well.
Dredda walked over to the tall canister and put her hand on it.
Inside this canister are my extracted eggs and the eggs of all my sisters. They await fertilization by a suitable male donor. By implanting the fertilized eggs into host mothers, we'll reproduce our kind. In a single generation, we can produce thousands of female offspring, who, after a chemically accelerated maturation process, will undergo the same genetic transformation we did.
You want me to fertilize all your eggs?
It's not that daunting a task, I assure you. We can store sperm for decades. Just as we can store our eggs.
And the host mothers, where would you get them?
From the general populace. The two females in your group would make prime surrogates. If they submitted to the procedure, it'd save them from ground zero. Which one are you sleeping with, by the way? My guess is the black one. Or are you servicing them both, Shadow Man?
What about the males who are with me?
They're only used to us as in the mines.
If I do what you ask, it'll only make more muti freaks like you. Frankly, I'd rather chill you all, or fucking die trying.
Maybe a few days in the mines will change your mind. Unlike the bumbling idiots who held you on my world, I don't make mistakes. I leave no escape holes. You'll cooperate with us, or you and your friends will die.
While Dredda put on helmet and gauntlets, Ryan considered making his move. The opportunity for a one-on-one fight was there, and he had the advantage of surprise. But he knew the troopers outside would join the action as soon as they heard the sound of a scuffle. After his experience with Kira, he was pretty sure he couldn't drop Dredda with a single blow, and there were no weapons in the room to help him out.
You sure you won't change your mind?
Dead sure.
Too bad. But I'm sure you'll come around.
Doubt it.
Swallowing his fury, he let the former CEO shove him back out the door.
Manacle this one, too. Send them all to Ground Zero in the next convoy.
Seconds later, Ryan found himself sitting on the dirt with his comrades, his wrists and ankles circled with bands of plastisteel. He shook the wrist cuffs.
What the blazes are these things?
They're what chopped off the hands and feet of those stickies. There's a laser built in. It's activated by remote control, I think.
White coat guillotines. If you go beyond a preset distance limit, you lose your extremities. The surgery is indeed bloodless, but you can be almost certain, not painless.
What did the head mistress want from you?
She wanted me to join them, to act as a guide and strategy maker.
Well, aren't you popular?
Apparently. She also wanted me to be the father of all their babies.
Lucky dog.
What was that, John?
Nothing, Millie.
Wait a minute. She wanted you to fuck them all?
No. It was nothing that personal, babe. Dredda Otis Trask wanted to collect my sperm to fertilize their extracted eggs. Seems to believe I have some kind of special genetic qualities they need in their she-he offspring. Makes me think the woman has swallowed her own line of Shadow Man advertising bullshit. She wanted you and Mildred to carry some of the muties.
Forced motherhood?
Either that or die.
Die.
Die is good.
They're gonna send us to the same place they sent those bastard stickies, aren't they?
Yeah, old friend. That's where they're going to send us.
The companions had been sitting in the sun for more than an hour, listening to the moaning, crackling sounds of the nuke glass, when the ground began to shake under them.
What the?
The first tremor was short and sweet, no more than a second or two, and it was followed by a long pause.
Phew.
Then came a 15-second skull-rattling quake that sent the guards to their knees, raised clouds of beige dust, and turned the domes and wax into black blurs. As the quake growled on incessantly, the earth beneath them became liquid. Ryan and the others were lifted, twisted, and dropped by the waves passing through it. Somewhere, deep in the bowels of the earth, a great switch flicked off, and the shaking was over as suddenly as it had begun. The guards stood, brushed off their weapons, and life in Slake City resumed as if nothing unusual had happened.
That was one hell of a ride.
The moaning sounds had turned into a low roar, punctuated by sporadic, dull crashes as distant, damaged sections of the vast glacier collapsed under their own weight.
It's a lucky thing we weren't out there on the glass when it hit.
Damn, Christy. As though we didn't have enough to worry about.
If you gotta take the last train west, getting swallowed up by an earthquake's a whole lot better than taking a week or two to die of rad poisoning.
That's true.
Suddenly, a gaudily painted gas-powered bus pulled into the camp. It stopped beside the churned-up dirt rectangle and began disgorging its passengers to the primal beat of a boombox. Dazed, the new arrivals staggered and fell down the steps, only to find themselves ringed by battle-suited troopers and pulse rifles. They watched in shock as manacles were clapped onto their wrists and ankles. As the new slaves were bound, the bus driver, a giant of a man in a squashed canvas fedora, counted them off on the fingers of his false hand, while three particularly scabrous-looking sluts danced and cavorted obscenely on the roof of the bus. The smell of grain alcohol coming off the wag was overpowering. It was obvious what had happened.
Big bastard got the poor sons of bitches stoned and tricked them into coming here.
Those prancing parasites have sold their fellow human beings to the invaders as though they were domestic chattel. For that heinous act,